أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ويل لكل همزة لمزة الذي جمع مالا وعدده يحسب أن ماله أخلده كلا لينبذن في الحطمة وما أدراك ما الحطمة نار الله الموقدة التي تطلع على الأفئدة إنها عليهم مؤصدة في عمد ممددة. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. اللهم اجعلنا منهم ومن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. واللهم نور قلوبنا بنور القرآن. أمين يا رب العالمين. ثم أما بعد. إن شاء الله we're discussing سورة همزة today. And the first thing to discuss is its relationship with the surah that preceded it. That is سورة العصر. Actually, there are three surahs that are very closely connected to each other, and that those are Surah Al-Takathur, then Surah Al-Asr, and then Humazah. These three surahs are very closely related to each other. The gist of Surah Al-Takathur was a complaint issued by Allah and a declaration really made that human beings are distracted, essentially distracted. And the only time their distraction comes to an end is when they're pretty much headed towards their graves. حَتَّى زُرْتُمْ Al-Maqabir, right? It's too late by that time. So the idea was, don't be distracted, wake up now that you have time. And your time is running out, which is the fundamental lesson of Surah Al-Asr. وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. But if you are not able to avail this time, then what is ahead of you is destruction. And that is the worst of it is described in this surah. Now, so it's connected in that logical flow between these three surahs. There are other things too. The central ayah of Surah Al-Asr is إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. That's the thesis of that surah. That is the statement, the universal statement made. Now that statement that human beings are in loss, this surah describes how bad can it get. Meaning it's the worst kind of loss that's being described in Surah Humazah. By some scholarly accounts, there is no worse description of hellfire given in the Qur'an than in this surah, because Allah Azza wa Jal takes a step further than He does anywhere else. Specifically when he says Narullah. You see, when you say Nar, fire, and you attribute it to Jahannam, Nar Jahannam, right? Or Azab al-Hariq, Azab al-Sa'ir, these are all different descriptions of the same thing, of hellfire. But when you attribute it to Allah, then you've taken a step beyond anything else. You know, it's like comparing a fire made by me, a fire lit by me, versus a fire lit by someone who knows how to make a fire better than myself. Right, but now Allah is saying, the fire lit by who? Allah. By Allah, which means it's an incomparable kind of fire. It's fire beyond imagination and something Allah has Himself taken, made special arrangements for. So the fact that He mentioned His name next to the fire, Lafz al-Jalala, in and of itself constitutes that this is the strongest, you know, surah of warning and terrorizing the warning of the hellfire. The other thing that's really powerful about this surah is that it's the last surah dealing with the Akhirah in Juz Amma. And you can also say in the sequence of the Qur'an. The rest of the surahs that are coming now will not deal directly with the subject of the next life. You notice already, if you've been attending the durus, that many of the surahs, if not all of them, fundamentally have dealt with some concept of the afterlife. Something to do with the afterlife. But this is the final of them and the most powerful exclamation. So it's like the subject is coming to a conclusion at its most climactic, most powerful point. The surah begins, Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَيْلٌ. That's the first word of the surah, وَيْل. Destruction, curse. There are other meanings of it that we'll discuss in more detail. But before we do, I want to tell you that this word is used in the Qur'an 27 times. And there's one surah in which particularly this is used 10 of those 27 times. وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ. This is Surah Al-Mursalat. It occurs 10 times just in that one surah. But there are two surahs in the Qur'an where the surah begins with wail. It begins with wail. There's وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ, and then also وَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ. What's really interesting about that is in both of these surahs, Allah Azza wa Jal is talking about the same corrupt personality. People that are corrupt because of their greed. This surah makes it clear, الَّذِي جَمَعَ مَالًا Mu'addada. He gathers wealth and he's counting it constantly and making preparations with his wealth. On the other hand, الَّذِينَ إِذَا اكْتَالُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ يَسْتَوْفُونَ وَإِذَا كَالُوهُمْ أَوْ وَزَنُوهُمْ يُخْسِرُونَ. The people who, when they are customers, and they are receiving the product, they make sure they get every last penny, every little ounce, every last percent that they deserve. Not 1 gram goes uncollected. But when they are the seller and somebody else is the customer, then they give them less than what they deserve. يُخْسِرُونَ. They make sure that the customer goes in loss. أَلَا يَظُنُّ أُولَٰئِكَ أَنَّهُمْ مَبْعُوثُونَ. Doesn't this kind of person know, doesn't he even fathom that they're going to be raised again? So there it began with wail, and here it begins with wail, destruction and curse. This is again a parallel between the two. Then, just going through my notes, وَأَصْلُهُ وَيْلِ فُلَانٍ. The origin of the word wail is actually one word, way, without the lam at the end. The original word is just way. And then the way it's used as a phrase is way li fulan. Lam is a harf of jar. Those of you that are, you guys are, alhamdulillah, grammar students. So a harf of jar, li fulanin. May a curse fall upon so and so. That's way li fulan. And that's how they would actually, inflict a curse upon someone else. Way laka. And this is actually something that's used in the Qur'an when the parents are seeing that their child, their son, their daughter has lost all hope of returning back to iman. So Allah quotes this desperate parent saying, وَيْ لَكَ آمِن. Curse you, why don't you have iman? It's like they've lost all hope in their child and they come to that point where they're even saying, وَيْ لَكَ آمِن. That's a very strong kind of word. So that's, there are two separate words. But then, ثُمَّ كَثُرَتْ فِي كَلَامِهِمْ فَوَصَلَتْ بِاللَّامِ. Meaning they said it so much, way li fulan, that the way and the lam became fused together, and just the norm became that it's one word now. Way is used for two things from a rhetorical point of view. They say they use it for ta'assuf, which is the one saying it is extremely sad. That's what ta'assuf means. The one who's saying it is extremely frustrated and extremely sad and upset at the one he's talking to. Now this, in the example I gave you of the parents, obviously is very true. They are extremely upset as they are saying this to their own child. But when we understand this linguistic meaning, who is talking in Surah Humazah? Allah Azza wa Jal is extremely disappointed with the one he is addressing in this surah. That's way. Then the second thing is hasra. Wayli hasra. Hasra means, the English equivalent of that is crying over spilt milk. The brief word is regret. But regret doesn't really cover it. Regret over something you can never recover again. It's irrevocable regret. Regret that you cannot now compensate back. There's one thing, you made a mistake, but you can fix it. But that's the English, that's why I use the English expression crying over spilt milk. It's spilt, it's gone. You can't get it back now. That's hasra. And this, so the, one of the other sentiments this communicates is that kind of hasra, meaning those people against whom wail is being used, they are at a point of no return, and the only thing they will feel is hasra. They can only wish that they had done things differently, but at this point it's too late for them. Similarly, again, waylaka was used in Surah Al-Ahqaf, I didn't mention that. And wayka'anna, similarly, the way beginning but a different ending, wayka'anna, is used in Surah Al-Qasas. There are three words inside this surah, just from a sarf point of view. And this is important in the Qur'an, especially in short surahs, the way Allah structures a word and makes certain parallels. There's humaza, tamarbuta at the end, lumaza, the pattern would be fu'ala, right? Fu'ala, humaza, lumaza, and then there's a third word that is on the same pattern, that is hutama, right? So Allah Azza wa Jalla towards the end, he says, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَلْ hutama, right? Hutama. So these three words are on the same pattern. Now that is not a coincidence as far as linguistic analysis is concerned. As we study the surah a little carefully, we'll learn that the first two things that are being said on this pattern, humaza and numaza, have something deeply to do with the last word, hutama, and they're rhetorically and meaningfully connected to each other, and Allah Azza wa Jalla ties these concepts together. Nonetheless, the first thing I'll tell you about these three words is that they have kathra in them. What that means is they all allude to something that happens a lot. Hutama has something to do with something happening a lot. Humaza does also, and lumaza does also. Humaz and lumaz are actually the original words, and they, according to most Arab linguists and lexicons and things like that, they're considered qareebul ma'na. which means they are almost interchangeable in how they are used. There are very subtle differences between these two. Imam Razi quotes Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu as saying that humaz is behind the back, while lumaz is in the face. So humaza is someone who says bad things about someone behind their back, which we also call ghiba, but they do it a lot because of the way the word is spelled. And lumaz is someone who insults them in their face. On a side note, you should know there are people nowadays who say, at least I don't do it behind his back. Right? As though insulting someone to their face is an accomplishment. That in and of itself doesn't constitute that you're a good person. That's still a pretty bad thing. Because Allah is wreaking His destruction and cursing not only those who do behind the back, but also those who do in the face. So it's not really an accomplishment or some higher social value that you've done this act of bravery, humiliating someone else in public. Now, as actually Imam Razi put it, is two interesting comments. One of them, that you know, the Muslims have fallen into a deteriorated culture where three of them, or four of, let's say four people, Muslims, are having lunch together. They're talking about the fifth one who's not here. And they're going off because he didn't show up for lunch. They figure this is the time to just go off on the guy and just rip him to shreds, right? And then one of them, one of the four, says, oh, I gotta go. I have a meeting. So he goes. Now there are three left. Guess what those three are going to do now? They start on number four. Yeah, he's a good guy, but let me tell you. And then they start on him. And even worse sometimes, he doesn't even have to leave for you, the three of you, to gang up on him on the dinner table and humiliate him among you. And you say, ah, we're just kidding. You get it. You know, we're just kidding, right? You know, we're just kidding. And this idea of it's not a big deal of humiliating someone because it's just among friends. Well, who's going to do that? Enemies are not going to do that. And you're not going to have that done to you like at the train station or at the office. It's really going to happen to you among friends. This is where it happens. And it happens a lot. Hence the word that implies that it takes place quite a bit. So now, the other thing to note here, so this was the first thing, the second thing. كُلُّ ذَلِكَ دَاخِلٌ فِي الزَّجْرِ وَالنَّهِي. We'll talk about this kullu dhalika. I didn't put it in the notes. I left it for later just to pique your curiosity. The Mufassir comments, he says, all of this is included in Allah's scolding and what Allah forbade. In other words, Allah said two things, humaza and lumaza, just two things. But then the Mufassirun made a whole long list of what kind of people would fit under this description. This is not just two people. These are many, many behaviors that are captured inside two words. And at the end of that paragraph, he basically says, for example, in Tafsir Kabir, he says, Fakhruddin al-Razi says, كُلُّ ذَلِكَ دَاخِلٌ. All of that, all of the things I have described to you, actually when I was reading it, he had like four pages on it. Just four pages on the kinds of behavior that is included inside humaza and lumaza. And all of that is included inside the scolding, فِزَّجَرْ, the scolding, the, you know, the yelling of Allah in this surah, and on top of that, that which he strictly forbade. The next thing to note is, when does this kind of behavior occur? When does a person engage in becoming from those who engage in humaz and those who engage in lumaz? This speaking ill of other people to their face or behind their back. When does it become, and obviously Allah is talking about people who do this a lot, right? Who are habitual at it and do it quite a bit. When does this become part of someone's personality even? It's just what they do. This becomes their personality trait when they have nothing better to think about. When they have no better preoccupation in their life. There's no higher purpose in their life, so they have to find their purpose elsewhere. You know what happens a lot of times, and there are even entire like novels and TV shows, and entire like genre of literature dedicated to this. When people have nothing better to do, they end up being overly concerned with each other. Like, they, you know, there's all these like comedic references to, you know, suburban life, where people are worried about the next one made a better lawn than we did, or they didn't pay their HOA dues, or, you know, oh, that one, did you know what they did, or what kind of car they drive, or I heard this happened or that happened, and constant gossiping among neighbors, among, you know, or people within the same social circle. Did you see what she was wearing that other day? Oh my God, you know, where did they buy their clothes from? This kind of unnecessary talk is considered included in humaz and lumaz. And when does this talk happen again? When a person isn't concerned with higher things, then their mind has to be filled with other concerns. By the way, this is important to note for the reason the previous surah was dedicated to get your mind concerned with the primary concern, which is innal insana lafi khusr. And the primary remedy of you getting out of trouble. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. That's what you're supposed to be concerned with. When those concerns go away, then your mind travels to these other things. And instead of finding flaw in yourself, you start finding flaw in others. Actually, I think it's Mufti Muhammad Shafi'i. He quoted an Urdu poem in describing this attitude of a person of weak character who fails to see their own weakness, and the only way they can find to cover their own weakness is to constantly find weakness in others. That's the best way they can cover up their own weakness. So he wrote, I'm just going to cite one part of the Urdu poem, don't get too happy. Auron ki azmat kya jaane, kam zaf jo insa hote hain. What that basically means is, those who are low of character themselves, how can they ever appreciate the goodness of others? All they see in others are flaws. When a person, all they see in others is flaws, either to their face or behind their back, you know what that means? They themselves are of a low character. They don't see the good in people, they only see the flaws in people. And that doesn't speak of the other more than it does of their own selves. May Allah protect us from such attitudes. So I mentioned to you the logical, you know, flow between Surah At-Takathur and then Surah Al-Asr, and then finally to Surah Humazah. So I'll skip those part of my notes. We'll go straight to the comments of a great linguistic mufassir, Az-Zamakhshari, who wrote the book Al-Kashaf. He says, Al-Humaz Al-Kasr. Kasr in Arabic is used for fracturing something, or breaking something, or cracking something, or tearing something apart. And it's used in literature to talk about when one person speaks to another in a way that they're attempting to break them, not physically, but psychologically. They're trying to break their dignity or fracture their sense of self-worth, that sort of thing. You know, and this is the word used linguistically to describe the attitude of humaz. And he says, lumaz at-ta'an. Lumaz is basically sarcastic tone, sarcasm against someone else. And by the way, sarcasm is important because sarcasm can be a compliment, but meant as an insult. So you could say to someone, you're such a genius. But what you're really saying is you're so stupid, right? And you can get, and you say, why would you talk to me like that? No, I'm saying you're a genius, right? Mm-hmm. And so they feel like, no, they didn't do anything wrong, and they can cover their tracks, but really Allah Azza wa Jal knows what was meant by them when they said it. And more often than not, the person they are insulting or being sarcastic against also knows. And it's also recorded in their heart. So يُقَال لُمَزَ طُعَنَا. It's said that لُمَزَ are the people, or لَمَزَهُ طَعَنَهُ also. That he did لَمَز against him, which means he was sarcastic against him. وَالْمُرَادْ الْكَسْرِ مِنْ أَعْرَاضِ النَّاسِ. And it means, to break or to fracture in a way, you know, when you're not in the company of those people, meaning behind their back. وَالْغَضْ مِنْهُمْ وَاغْتِيَابُهُمْ. And also to find constantly the flaws in them and then be do ghiba against them. وَالطَّعْن فِيهِمْ. And also be sarcastic in speaking about them. وَبِنَاءُ فُعَلَ. And the construction, the pattern, the sarf of the word fu'ala, like humaza, يَدُلُّ عَلَى أَنَّ ذَلِكَ عَادَةٌ مِنْهُ. It illustrates that this habit, this is something that is habitual from him. He constantly does this. وَنَحْوُهُمَا. And something very similar for you to understand, اللعنة والضحكة, meaning cursing someone and laughing at someone, would be included according to Zamakhshari inside humaza. Cursing someone, meaning using foul language against someone, that's اللعنة. Or literally cursing them, like, you know, making dua against them, that sort of thing. And secondly, الضحكة, which is to laugh at them, to poke fun at them, and to use a condescending tone. Now, smiling at someone is different, and laughing at someone is different. And I think we're smart enough to know the difference, you know. And, you know, a lot of times, you know what the really expert criminal mind does? They laugh at someone, and then when the person's insulted, you say, well, you don't want me to smile? What's the matter? You have something against happiness? So they have this attitude where they think they can get away with it simply because, you know, they're playing a smart card. Now, Ruh al-Ma'ani. I love Ruh al-Ma'ani, by the way. Tafsir al-Alusi. And his tafsir, the reason I love it is he would study an ayah, and he would make a list of masail, things he needs to understand in the ayah. He would make a list of them. This is what I need to understand, this is what I need to understand, al-mas'alatul ula, al-thaniya, al-thalitha, al-rabi'a, and so on. And then what he would do, it's amazing, intellectual honesty. He would say, I feel after my study, the answer to the first problem is this and this and this. And this is the answer that others have offered. But for the fourth problem or the fifth problem, these are the answers others have given. I haven't found them satisfactory, but I don't have an answer myself either. Allahu A'lam. Sometimes he thinks he has an answer, other times he doesn't. And when he doesn't, he'll just tell you, I don't know. It's a problem that remains, Allah knows best, and he leaves it at that, subhanAllah. So he's honest enough to even expose what he knows, but also expose what he doesn't know, what he doesn't understand, subhanAllah. It's a great accomplishment of the tafsir, which is called, again, Ruhul Ma'ani. So one of the masail he lists, Al-Mas'alatul Ula, Al-Waylu Lafzatul Dham Was-Sakht. The word wail is a word, it's verbiage or wording, used them. You remember them from the other lesson? What's them? Huh? Condemnation, remember? Condemnation. It's a word used to condemn someone. Wasakht and stiffness. Wahiya kalimatu kulli makrubin. And this is really powerful. This is a word used for anyone who has been anguished, meaning someone who feels helpless against someone who oppressed them with their words or with their gestures by insulting them in any way. Kullu makrub, meaning the one who has been anguished, this is the word that comes out of their heart. يَتَوَلَّوْنَ فَيَدْعُوا بِالْوَيْلِ. They turn away from the oppressor and they use the word wail against the one that has just oppressed them, because they have nothing else they can do. So the feeling even is calling wail. Not just the word, but the feeling this person has when they've been insulted and they walk away with their feelings hurt, that feeling in and of itself is wail against the person. No questions until the end, sorry. Sorry, because of a recording thing. Yeah. Sorry. Okay. So now the comment to understand here is when someone is insulted and they make wail against the person who offended them. But in this surah, that person is not crying wail. Who's actually saying wail? Allah is. Meaning instead of the makroob, instead of the one who has been anguished using the word wail, Allah comes to his defense. And Allah curses the person who had offended him. SubhanAllah. This is a very serious thing. Because usually, you know, in Islamic studies, we learn different things about the negative dua of someone against someone else. Right? So for example, إِيَّاكُمْ وَدَعْوَةَ الْمَظْلُومِ. Famous hadith. Watch out especially for the dua made of the one who's been wronged. The victim. If the victim makes dua against you, watch out. Right? This is a very serious issue. Then on top of that, a more serious issue even is when the angels are cursing someone. أُولَٰئِكَ يَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَلْعَنُهُمْ اللَّاعِنُونَ. Right? This is a very serious issue. But on top of all of that is when Allah is the one who is saying wail against a person. How serious can that matter be? This is a very, very serious issue. Again, it's so important to highlight that, because it's taken in the exact opposite way. It's taken so very lightly. The thing to include, actually, that the next one of my comments will come up in the Arabic, so I'll just keep reading. وَقِيلْ فِي وَيْلٍ إِنَّهَا كَلِمَةْ تَقْبِيحٍ. And it's also said that in the word wail, there's a word that depicts ugliness, meaning it's only used to describe or speak against someone who is engaged in something despicable, disgusting, deplorable, something ugly and hideous. وَوَيْسْ إِسْتِصْغَارٍ. When you say wais instead of wail, the lam, what word did I recite at the end? A seen now. That is used to depict to minimize someone's standing in society. You know, basically to make them feel little. That's when waste is used. Anyhow, فَنَبَّهَ بِهَذَا عَلَى قَبْحِ هَذَا الْفِعْلِ. So Allah used and informed, and actually even warned with this word, to illustrate the ugliness of this act. وَاخْتَلَفُوا فِي الْوَعِيدِ الَّذِي فِي هَذِهِ السُّورَةِ. And they disagreed, the Mufassirun disagreed, in the warning that occurs in this surah. هَلْ يَتَنَاوَلُ كُلَّ مَنْ يَتَمَسَّكْ بِهَذِهِ الطَّرِيقَةِ فِي الْأَفْعَالِ الرَّدِيئَةِ. Does this extend to, or does this apply to anyone who holds on to this behavior in the most despicable of acts? In other words, is this warning that Allah is issuing in the beginning, does this apply to everyone? أَوْ هُوَ مَخْصُوصٌ بِأَقْوَامٍ مُعَيَّنِينَ. Or is it exclusively referring to a very specific group of people, meaning at the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam? أَمَّا الْمُحَقِّقُونَ. As far as the researchers are concerned, فَقَالُوا, they said, إِنَّهُ عَامٌ. It is general. لِكُلِّ مَنْ يَفْعَلُ هَذَا الْفِعْلِ. Whoever does, it applies to anyone who does this act. كَائِنًا مَنْ كَانْ. Whoever he may be. وَقَالَ مَقَاتِلْ. Now he's going after, he's saying, it may be anyone, but when the Sahaba heard it, they thought of some individual people. That doesn't negate what this opinion is. The opinion is that it applies to everyone. But the Sahaba, when they say this came about this person, or this ayah is about that person, They're not saying it's only about that person, but what the Sahaba are teaching us is, you want to know a specific example? Here's one. And so these specific examples are being highlighted. Maqatil says, نَزَلَتْ فِي الْوَلِيدِ بْنُ مُغِيرَةِ. That Walid ibn Mughira is the one it's talking about. قَالَ عِطَاءُ وَالْكَلْبِ نَزَلَتْ فِي الْأَخْنَسِ بْنُ شُرَيْقٍ. That it came down in the matter of Akhnas ibn Shuraiq. كَانَ يَلْمِزُ النَّاسِ. He used to blame people and be critical of them. وَيَغْتَابُهُمْ. And he used to backbite against them and criticize them behind their back. وَخَاصَّةً رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. And he should do so particularly in the matter of Rasulullah صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. So, the second problem, actually we covered this one. وَهِيَ الْمَسْخَرَةِ. This is the second thing. وَهِيَ الْمَسْخَرَةِ الَّتِي تَأْتِي بِالْأَوَابِدْ وَالْأَضَاحِيكِ فَيَضْحِكُ مِنْهُمْ وَيَشْتِمْ. This also includes making fun of people, poking fun at them. That was the habit of the Bedouins and those who are known to be comedians. They were also just always laughing everything off. Now, comedian could mean stand-up comedian on a stage, by the way, but it can also refer to people that are always joking and always making light of things, which is harmless sometimes, but very harmful some other times. Just on a side comment, the culture in which we live, you know, the comedy culture, right? Big part of mass entertainment is comedy, stand-up comedy, that sort of thing. And if you look at comedy and the kinds of things it talks about, there are certain categories a comedian takes on. Number one, shamelessness, lewd and shameless things. Number two, making fun of other people. Poking fun at, you know, their accents or their nationality, their ethnicities, right? And Allah Azza wa Jal tells us the exact opposite in this language, more specifically to the believers, لَا يَسْخَرْ قَوْمٌ مِّن قَوْمٍ. Don't let any group make fun of any other group. But that's the very essence of comedy. And you know, we say, oh, it's just a comedian, it's okay, they're just making fun. Well, that's exactly what the Mufassirun would include in it. And finally, before we take the break, وَيَشْتِمْ. And it includes the one who curses and insults someone. Meaning uses insulting language. It's one thing to poke fun at them, it's another to even use insulting kinds of language and use this kind of condescending tone in talking to people. All of it included inside Al-Humaza and Al-Numaza. We'll continue with my notes, inshallah ta'ala, after the adhan.